This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Needs. This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're gonna give it to them. This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. Got the Periscope fired up, podcast rolling, intern Ryan. Got the Google machine ready to check all of our facts and stats as we come in on this Wednesday, June 16th. Get ready to talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours. Cameron,
yes.
Got his Hawks outfit on, ready to go.
Yes, we got some wonderful news this morning, too.
We got some wonderful news this morning?
Yeah. Cam Reddish is cleared.
Is he playing today?
I don't know about that yet, but he is cleared by the doctors.
So okay.
That's step one. It makes sense. I saw him shooting in a pregame.
Makes sense. They've been saying he's coming back for 3 months. Hell.
<No.
laughs> He's cleared, right?
Yeah, I would say,
please instead of Tony Snell.
Well, I don't know, man. You know, I don't want to, like, lead the show up with the Hawks after everything we got going on, but I will say, it does seem hard to, hey, you're cleared after 3 months. Here you go. Game 5 Eastern Conference Finals. Let's see what you got. That seems pretty tough. I mean, you saw what happened last night to James Harden, who is obviously a much, 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 much better player than Cam Reddish and who has not been out near as long. But here you go, James Harden. Drop you in Game 5 of a 2-2 series. Good luck. Now, I will say, James Harden looked like he was about 70% last night at best.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, the health matters too, but just the intensity. I don't know if you drop Cam in here, but maybe you do. Maybe at least throw some mixes out there, see if he can grab some rebounds, play some defense. But that's good. I didn't see that, Cam, so you brought good news to me. So you're good. Mm-hmm. You're ready to go. Anything else to report?
No, not about it. It's just dreamline focused.
All right.
Playoffs.
Yeah, I'm pumped for tonight.
You guys excited? A little nervous, maybe? Yep. I mean, we know how important these game fives are, fellas.
1:30, I got to head to the airport to catch my flight to Philly. Just kidding.
I was about to say, look at this guy.
Cam's head shut up. No, just kidding, bro. Just kidding. I'm pumped. Counting down the hours. A lot at stake. Pumped for it.
I think they did say they're not going to just throw him in.
Yeah, I don't think you do that. He might get 4 or 5 minutes, but maybe. Draven, how are you?
Doing good. Can't complain.
Weather good enough for you?
Yeah, not too shabby. Finally a day off today as well.
Okay.
So, you know, always nice.
All right.
Going to be grinding on some Call of Duty. If anybody wants to play, DM me. DM me your gamer tag. We'll run some, duos, some
and
trios.
What game is that?
Call of Duty. Warzone.
Is that the newest one, I assume?
They had a Black Ops 1 come out, but it was just not as good.
No one liked it as much?
Nah, not really. A lot of people still play the Warzone.
Game with Draven.
Really? You can message me if you're down to play. Yeah. I'm ready.
Your Twitter's what? Just @DravenFine?
Yeah.
That's the benefit of having a
cool,
unique
creative
name.
It was Draven So Fine at one point, but I felt that was a little immature, maybe.
Oh, that's not bad.
I would have kept it on.
You guys think so?
Yes, I think I would have kept it.
I just thought it was a little immature, but either way.
I once was John Can't Read.
Now that makes sense right there.
I've been in a war with the two British John Reeds that have locked down the
That's
original.
That's still going on.
Yeah, John no space, no underscore Reed, and John 1 underscore Reed. I've been beefing with them. One of them hasn't even been active for a couple months, but he just wants to hold on to it. So here we are.
Yep. Tried like messaging them or.
I usually just tweet at them and they
tweet at them.
They'll write something smart back or something mean back, like no, leave me alone or something. Just ignore me. All right, so get some games going with Draven. Ryan, you good? Thumbs up from Ryan. Love yep. to see it. What's the story today, Draven?
Where do we start? NBA. The association. Oh, we got to start with KD, man. Forget about this, all this other news. We talked about it. We harped on it yesterday.
Kind of spoke it into existence.
Yeah, God, literally. Exactly.
He needed a moment.
Yeah, he needed a moment. You think he maybe saw us on Twitter or something?
He saw my tweet.
Yeah, scroll by.
He's probably listening.
I don't know if his burner account he was on.
I would say he has a Twitter alert set up that he reads every tweet that says Kevin Durant. So, I would say.
You think he's that bad of a troll? You think he's that bad?
Well, he does live on Twitter, though. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It was a long time before pregame, so who knows? Maybe he just sat there and read. And, you know, we had brought up that there weren't any signature moments, really, outside of game three over LeBron to kind of set up the sweep and win the championship. Or I think they even won in five, right? They won the series in five. No, they got swept.
They
swept them.
Yeah.
1 year they beat them in five, right? 1 year they got them in five?
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember which is which, but I think that year they swept. But either way, and then the Grizzlies, 4-point play in the corner, couple of the moments, but not a significant signature game until last night. Last night was one of the best NBA performances you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was unreal. Oof. We talked about him needing a moment, and that is one way to make a moment.
Now, I will say you probably need to pay it off with the championship or at least win this series and make the finals. Like, if it's a moment that saves you from elimination and it's a moment that leads you to a championship, it just goes, up. Yeah, it multiplies in terms of the significance of it. Now, either way, like, it's one you'll always be able to point to. Like, look, shorthanded. Comes out, drops 49 points, grabs 17 rebounds, 10 assists.
That's insane.
That's unheard of from KD.
While also playing every minute of 48 minutes of a game. Like, that is a legendary performance.
First player in NBA playoff history to record 45, 15-plus rebounds, and 10-plus assists.
Yep. No, I mean, that's about as good as it gets. I mean, it would be hard to have been better than he was last night. I don't think it's possible.
Where does that rank? Greatest playoff performances ever. I mean, you got, LeBron's, game one, I remember, against the Warriors when JR blew it. He had, 51, 8, and 8 or something like that.
It's the best so far of these playoffs, right? I mean, there have been good. There have been great playoff performances so far. I mean, Lillard hit 12 threes.
But still lost,
Did still lose, but did hit, two shots at the end of the game to, send them into overtime, into double overtime. So, I don't want to scoff at that. You also had, just looking at the best performances, I think Durant's is either ahead of Dame's or right behind Dame's. I do think winning in the stakes makes it a bigger performance. And just we didn't ask Dame to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We didn't say, Dame, this is your legacy. No one thinks Dame Lillard is the best player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. There's a very strong case, and maybe now there's no even argument, that Kevin Durant is the best player in the league right now. We asked him, hey, man, here you go. You have a championship-level team. Carry him. No one asked Dame Lillard that. He's in that nice space where when you do cool things, cool. When you lose, you don't have enough help.
Yep.
We weren't going to say that to Kevin Durant last night. Yep, especially once James Harden's hey, I'm going to give it a go.
Exactly. And then once James came out there and was awful, you're like, oh, KD's going to have to take over. And
I will say that if Harden didn't play, they probably would have lost, though. Even though he was awful last night, I do think just him being out there and having another guy that can handle the ball and at least get – James Harden, I think, deserves credit, too. He had – nice defensive possession against Giannis at the end of the game. He played 46 minutes. He had two free throws at the end where he kind of drew a foul on Brook Lopez by hooking his arm and falling. It was a challenge play that they upheld, and he hit the two free throws to give him the lead. So Harden being out there helped, took some pressure. I know he didn't score a lot, had four turnovers, but did give eight assists and six rebounds. Was at least a factor.
Yeah.
But we don't make Dame Lillard do that.
Nope.
Kevin Durant, we were like, hey, man, legacy moment. Here you go. So for him to come and answer that bell with a historic performance, Draven said, never before in NBA history, 45, 15, and 10. Is that the numbers?
Yep.
And he went 49, 17, and 10.
It was crazy, too, because honestly, with the Bucks getting out fast and being up early, everybody was already oh, man, are the Nets really about to just get blown out here? And then,
well, that's another thing the playoffs have shown you. I mean, just two nights in a row, you've seen, what was it, 18-point lead? Did the Bucks get to 20? The Bucks got to 20 at one point, right?
To 20.
They get to 20. You know, the Hawks are down 18 to the Sixers, and you see both those comebacks and back-to-back nights. So, like, the three-point shooting and just how talented offensive players are right now, like, you know, don't turn your TV off.
Nope.
If your team goes down 18 or so, like, you can come back. But, you know, James Harden playing 46 minutes is pretty wild when you consider him coming off that injury.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant coming off of a, you know, missed season and a half, really two seasons, with – or just one full season, 18 months – with torn Achilles and playing all 48 minutes is wild. And then you look up and you're like, why did they play more minutes than Giannis? Like, Giannis played 42, so, like, Buds can't get too, like, destroyed for that because he had been, like, limiting Giannis' minutes. But he played in 42 minutes, but, like, Drew Holiday played 34.
Jeff Green was just coming off injury, too.
Yeah, Jeff Green.
He went 7-for-7.
Well, Jeff Green played great. I mean, Jeff Green still played 35 minutes, which is a lot coming off injury. But, like, Drew Holiday was playing, like, NBA regular season rotation minutes. And I'm like, hey, bro, what are you waiting on? It's now or never.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be this guy. And also, I mean, like, I'm not letting Budenholzer off the hook because there's some questionable things. Like, at some point, you have to be like, okay, Drew Holiday is kind of wasting his talents guarding James Harden tonight because James Harden can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, James Harden's on defense. We got to get him switched in a pick and, like, take him to the hole.
Yep.
Not post him up with Giannis because Giannis has no post moves and, you know, shot a fadeaway jumper, which is – and Harden's a great post defender. Like, he's not very good on the perimeter, but in the post, he's strong.
Yeah, he's stocky.
Yeah, it's the benefit of being a chunk boy. Like, he's good on defense in the post. But, yeah, as Ryan points out, shout out to Jeff Green because without Jeff Green going 5-for-5 from three in the first half, like, they're probably getting smoked. And they're already down, what, 16.5?
Yep.
So it wasn't like they were already weren't getting smoked, but if he didn't go 5-for-5, they'd have been like down at least 20. Durant gives you 49. Jeff Green gives you 27. Blake Griffin gives you 17. Ah, yes, the Brooklyn Big Three we've been talking about.
We've been waiting on it, huh?
Hey, man, shout out to Jeff Green though, because there was that year when he was LeBron's best teammate.
Yep.
And they had that big Game 7 in Boston, and I think Jeff Green gave him, what, like 17 points in that game or 18 points? Like,
around there.
Came up big as, like, LeBron's only other teammate that could dribble a basketball. So, like, Jeff Green has had a hell at the end of it. We might look at him and say, you know what, pretty good career. But, like, he's been a frustrating player for most of his career. A guy that, you know, was a top six pick. I believe he was number six in the missing piece for that Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook team. And then never really came to fruition, has been a little underachieving his whole career, bounced around. You know, obviously with him, if you're Jeff Green, you're like, hey, man, I had open heart surgery. So, like, any game I get to play, like, being alive is good enough for me, but, like, I don't need you guys talking about me being a bust because I'm out here making plays. And, again, he has answered the bell and been a part of some pretty important teams. It was 19 points.
Yeah, I was going to say, shot 50%.
8 rebounds, I believe, 19 and 8. And, like you said, yeah, went 7-for-14 and helped them win that Game 7 in Boston. And then, you know, had some moments in the playoffs in 2020 in the bubble for that Houston team. I mean, he was a pretty big part of that Houston team. And then last night, yeah, came through when it mattered.
This has got to be the end for Budenholzer, right? I mean, if they can't win this series, like, I get KD's performance is unreal, but like you said, I mean, you blow a big lead like that, like, down the stretch was just terrible.
We'll continue the conversation about that because, yeah, if you're the Bucks fan, if you're the Bucks, like, man, that is
I'd be done with Chris Middleton, too. Like, I mean, come on. Like, really. Like, 8-for-22, 3-for-10. Like, you're supposed to be the scorer. You're supposed to be that second-hand guy.
I'm having
outplayed by Jeff Green. Like, really.
It's a real come-to-Jesus moment right now in Milwaukee. That would be about as bad as it gets to be a fan. We'll continue the conversation after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Season 2 of Dave premieres tonight.
Let's go.
No people are pumped for that. If I'm a Bucks fan, man, that's about as bad as it gets. That's the ultimate sports pain, like, to be there trying to break through, and you've, you know, thought all day, like, hey, we got this series. Like, what? The moment Kyrie goes down, you win two games in Milwaukee, you're riding high. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're, what, 3.5-point favorites? They're minus, like, 190 to win the series, which, by the way, I told you, the Nets at plus 150 to win the series. That seemed like pretty good odds yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been, like, plus 168. Oof. You could have grabbed some of that. Now you're in the driver's seat. But the Bucks, you know, you go from, okay, look, it's just Kevin Durant. Stop Kevin Durant. And then you get the update like, well, actually, James Harden, I know he said he's out, but he's actually feeling okay today. He might play.
Yeah.
So then you're like, okay, that's fine. He might play, but he's not going to be healthy. It's fine. We're going to win. Then you get there. You're nervous because Harden does play.
Mm-hmm.
But you jump out to a 20-point lead, and then you're like, okay, we got these guys figured out.
Yep.
We got these guys right where we want them. You're up 20 in Brooklyn with a game six, you know, in Milwaukee coming your way, and you're about to right the wrongs of 2019. You're about to complete the Raptors comeback, like I'd been saying, like, hey, it's set up for that. And then you just have to witness the all-time masterpiece, the Sistine Chapel of Kevin Durant. Oof. Like, you had to be on the wrong end of that. Now, like, while you have your two-time MVP who is, you know, always first-team all-defense, while you have him in the corner guarding Joe Harris.
What's the deal with that?
Mike Budenholzer's not a good coach when it comes to the playoffs.
Is that all it is? Because, like, if I'm Giannis, though, wouldn't you kind of be like, hey, like, let me guard him. Let me take on the challenge a little bit. Like, I'm the defender here. I'm the guy with the size that can actually compete with him.
He said it after the game. I'd be like, oh, well, that's nice, Giannis. You want to take the challenge in game six? Where the hell were you at in game five?
Yeah, really?
When Durant scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. Where were you at then, tough guy? But even then, he's like, you know, whatever coach says. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of help put into context just how historic and legendary last night's performance was by Kevin Durant. Halfway through the third quarter, Milwaukee was up 16, 76 to 60. 6:20 left in the third quarter, so, you know, 18 minutes and 20 seconds left of the game. From that moment on, Brooklyn outscored the Bucks 54 to 32. Kevin Durant had 31 of that 54.
Jeez.
So, of that last 18 minutes and 20 seconds, it was the Milwaukee Bucks 32, Kevin Durant 31.
Oh, my gosh.
That won't win you many games.
No, that's not going to win you many games. Kevin Durant went toe-to-toe with the whole damn Bucks team and only lost by one. And that's not even counting his assists because he was dropping dimes. Like, last night was Kevin Durant's best all-around game, offensively, defensively. So. That was, like I said, his Sistine Chapel. That was his Mona Lisa, his masterpiece.
He needed to hit that free throw for 50, though.
Yeah.
It would look so much cleaner at a 50 spot.
The 50 spot would have looked cooler.
Yeah.
And he did let out a very loud expletive at the free throw line. But I don't know if that was because, like, hey, it was a three-point game and I could have pushed it to four, or like, oh, man, I needed that for 50.
Maybe a little bit of both.
I'll give Durant credit. It was probably because he wanted to get it to a four-point game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would say he also knew that he had 48 and wanted to get to 50 as well.
Yeah.
But I do think Durant is mostly focused on winning. I do think that. And, again, we're not saying, oh, man, you almost had a great game, Kevin Durant. If all you had gotten that 50th point. Now, I do feel bad that Kevin Durant has the game of his life. And, again, one of the – you know, there's certain websites that try to grade playoff performances.
Yeah.
And, like, you put all these metrics together and, like, spit out, grade it, and assign points to it. And it said Kevin Durant had the third best playoff performance of the last, like, 40 years.
Really?
Yeah. There was the two others behind it. I don't remember who had first. It wasn't LeBron. But the second best, like, Charles Barkley in, like, 92 when he's with the Suns. Probably like I think he had like a great like game four or something like that in the Phoenix series in the finals. But, you know, Kevin Durant, one of the three best playoff performances of the last, you know, 40 years. The 50th point would have made it look cleaner though. You are right.
Yeah.
You are correct. But if you're a Bucks fan, man, you're like, we had this.
Yeah.
And we've been waiting on this guy. Like, you know, I don't think we were wrong. I put the question out on Twitter, like, what's Durant's moment? Like, you know, Durant fans were talking to me, like, he doesn't really have one. Like, the other one they pointed to was, like, whenever Kevin Durant, you know, was getting questioned about the Clippers series and Patrick Beverley, quote-unquote, guarding him, and he was just like, come on, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. And they came out and busted their ass three straight games. Like, yeah, that was really cool. But it was a one seed versus an eight seed.
And the Clippers had they had no shot in that series.
Like, you were beating up on Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell, like, while you were at the Golden State Warriors. Like, it was a cool moment, like, to say, you know who I am, and then just come out and bust ass for three straight games. But the point was, like, he had been really, really good. Third highest, you know, playoff average in history. Minimum 25 games. So it wasn't like he was a choker by any means. We went through, and just a whole bunch of 32 points, 38 points, 40 points. Like, he had big games, but never with the back against the wall, undermanned. Against a team that, you know, was favored to beat them.
Yep.
Because even against that Clippers team, they were favored to beat them. Even the four-point play against the Grizzlies, they were supposed to beat that Grizzlies team. It was an eight seed, as Draven pointed out. Was a four-point play in 2011? You sure it wasn't 2014 when it was like a 4-5 matchup? Or a second-round matchup? I think that might have been a 3-6 matchup. I might be wrong on that, but I know they played twice in the playoffs. It might have been. But I'm 90% sure that was 2014, so I don't think that was the 8 seed Grizzlies. But it was, I think, a second-round matchup after the Grizzlies had beaten Maybe was that after they'd beaten the Clippers, or was it a first-round matchup? I don't think it was
2011. They did play him in the first round, 2013-2014.
I think that's when
seven.
Yeah. I think that's when it would have been then.
Right. I think you're right.
Okay. So that was the first round, yeah. That's when it would have been. But a series they were supposed to win. A series where they had more talent. That was kind of the end of the grit and grind.
Yeah.
So, like, to, you know, do that last night against a two-time, three-time, four-time, however many times he's made all-defense team. P.J. Tucker. How do you feel if you're P.J. Tucker this morning? You scored 0 points, and you're supposed to be his defensive guy, and the guy just dropped 49, 17, and 10 on your head.
He was giving it to him, too.
And, like, his rival, too.
Yeah, like, you've tried to fight him, you've tried to get in his head, and he just gave you 49 points. And if I'm Mike Budenholzer, at what point do you realize, like, hey, you know, Kevin's kind of got it going. Maybe we should get P.J. Tucker out of the game and get some more offense on the court. Like, at what point does that cross your mind? Like, hey, P.J.'s not giving us anything on offense, and it's not like he's stopping Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put in Pat Connaughton or Bryn Forbes. Maybe. Maybe you kick tires on Jeff Teague. Let's see if Jeff can give us any minutes. Like, anybody letting P.J. Tucker just have just jumpers reined in on his head. So if I'm Milwaukee, man, like, that's one of those losses that completely just makes you question your whole entire future as a franchise. Draven says, like, Budenholzer's going to get fired, which probably should have gotten fired last year. They ran it back.
Yep.
He improved a little bit, but obviously still can't push the right buttons.
Coaches are dropping like flies right now. I mean, wouldn't be surprised.
Coaches are dropping like flies, but none of them have a superstar like Giannis. So, like, if the Bucks do make this fire, like, he'll move to the front of the line, or they'll move to the front of the line in terms of most, you know,
desirable
spot. Yeah, I guess Dame's available, but he's not Giannis though.
True.
There's not a championship type of roster there. Because that's also a thing. Is like, if the Bucks win that game, like, you go home, you win that game, you're in the conference finals, and you're either playing a banged up Sixers team or a Hawks team.
Yep.
That, you know, is without DeAndre Hunter and isn't on your level in terms of playoff experience. And, you know, the Bucks would feel pretty good about playing Atlanta.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm a Hawks fan. I think it would be, you know, we could win a couple games, but the Bucks would be heavy favorites in that series.
Yeah.
With everything right in front of you, and then now you see, like, Donovan Mitchell limping, Kawhi Leonard limping, Chris Paul COVID. Like, it's wide open for Milwaukee to win this championship. Like, you've had it handed to you, and you drop the ball and have Kevin Durant again have his legendary performance right on your head.
You'll tell this a little bit about Giannis too.
Oh, 100%.
I was just gonna say, I feel like we're kind of putting it on Budenholzer, which we probably should, but I feel like Giannis, too. I mean, at the end of the game, with an opportunity, he just kind of chokes it up.
Oh, no. Make no mistake. It's all three of them. It's Chris Middleton. I'll throw Jrue Holiday in there because I've been saying Jrue Holiday is the most overrated player in the NBA. Like,
he's not. Yeah,
okay, he can play some defense, but, like, hey, there were some points where you needed some offense, too, Drew, and he threw up two air balls. And one, like, with, like, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter where he misses a 15-foot jumper by 2 feet. Like, he wasn't ready for that moment. He was 7 of 16, so he wasn't terrible. But, like, you got to do better than that, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, again, when James Harden's out there on the court guarding you, like, he can't move. So, like, no, like, Chris Middleton gets blamed, 8 for 22, shot away. Jrue Holiday, shot away, Budenholzer, bad rotations, no game plan. The whole fourth quarter is basically isolation. And that comes back to Giannis, like, who had 34 and 12. You know, 14 of 22, actually hit two threes last night.
Yeah.
Drilled one of those, a big one in the third.
Yeah. 4 of 7 from the free throw line, so not even awful there. But, you know, Charles Barkley said on the last play, they tried jumping in the post down two, and he fumbles the ball and immediately loses it. And Barkley says because he tried to go too fast because he didn't want to get fouled.
Yeah.
Which would check out. Like, if you're Giannis, you don't want to be shooting two game-tying free throws because you know you're not going to make both of them.
Mm-hmm. James Harden locked him down on, like, a little shot, too. He even waved off the double.
Yep, which I think James Harden probably took a lot of, you know, pride in that because, you know, a couple years ago when Giannis was picking the All-Star teams, he's like, no, I want guys who play defense.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
and caught
about
out James
that.
Harden. So they had a little beef after that. So then Giannis is trying. You know, there's been a couple moments. There was a couple big Rockets Bucks games the last 2 years where, you know, Harden got the best of Giannis in those situations. Yeah. And last night, you know, tie game, dumped it into Giannis, and Harden knows he's got no post move. So they try to double off. He's like, no, Landry Shamet, you stay up there. Don't let Middleton get a catch and shoot. I got this because I know what Giannis is going to do. Either he's going to drive to the lane, I'm going to foul him, he's going to miss a free throw, or he's going to shoot this little fadeaway right here. And that's what he did. He shot the fadeaway, missed it. Nets get a stop, come down, take the lead. So, no, I 100% blame Giannis. And it's just kind of what we've been saying, though, Draven. Like, he needs a number one with him. Or at least somebody that can set the table. I keep going back to, man, this team would look so much different had they traded for Chris Paul instead of Drew Holiday.
Yep. They would have won this game. I mean, like, just him in the fourth quarter, Chris Paul. Yeah. Like,
no, they'd have won the title. They'd have been the one seed.
Yeah.
And they'd be in Milwaukee for this game.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like, a healthy Brooklyn team still would have given them troubles. But, like, this Brooklyn team with no Kyrie and a banged-up Harden, like, yeah, they'd win this game by 15 points going away.
Yeah.
So, I'm not giving Giannis a pass. Which is also like what I would be this absolutely devastated if I'm a Milwaukee fan, because you have to come to the grips of that. Like,
this is your best shot.
It's your best shot, 100%. But also, like, man, like, is Giannis ever going to do it?
Yep.
Is he going to be like this generation's Charles Barkley or this generation's Karl Malone? Like, at least, you know, those guys got to the finals.
Yep.
No, what he's going to do is he's going to request a trade. Like, literally everybody else has done when they, what, three strikes and you're out pretty much, like 3-4 years. And then if you can't, demand a trade. That's pretty much how the trend it's going.
We'll see. Everyone keeps talking about Giannis being different because of, you know, him being European. And
he tweeted one tweet where he's like loyalty, and he had like the little buck in the symbol. Like, that was the one tweet that everybody's like, oh, Giannis is not, he's different.
What I will say about him is, like, I think any other superstar already would have hired Budenholzer, would have had Budenholzer fired.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he has never said anything bad about Budenholzer. Even last night, he was like, I want to guard Durant if coach says so. So I will say, like, there is something different there, like, you know, go through any other star, like, you'll have a coaching change by this point, or at least, like, some public criticism. Yeah. Like, and he, last year, like, no, I want, like, a part of his free agency or a part of him signing the extension was apparently, like, he wants Budenholzer back.
Yep.
So I do think loyalty does matter maybe a little bit more. Now, does that matter 2 years from now if he's still getting slandered for coming up short? No, eventually be like, hey, I'm not going to win. I'm tired of being, like, made fun of on the internet.
I mean, it's been what, like, since 2016, they've been to the Eastern Conference Finals once, with Giannis, like, being pretty damn good, right? I mean,
is that it? I guess that's the only time they made the Conference Finals, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the year they lost to
2016 was the first year they made, like, the playoffs with Giannis, pretty much.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, like, the series they've lost, they have been, you know, either favored in or should have won. I don't know if they were technically the favorite. I think they were slight underdogs and they lost to that Isaiah Thomas Celtics team. But, like, like, he should have been able to carry that team. Like, that Celtics team wasn't good.
Yeah.
I mean, we always have these. Like, there's always the new star, like, hey, we need you to win something.
Yeah.
Right now, it's Giannis.
Yep.
At least get to the finals.
Yep. And, well, he says it's going to stay that way until he does it, so.
It's one thing if you lose to Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant. It's another if you lose to just Kevin Durant and a, you know, 50% James Harden. It's a completely different thing, especially when you blow a 16-point lead, which is exactly what they did against the Raptors in Game 5, too. I don't know if you guys remember that game.
Collapsed.
I think they got, was it a 26-2 run in that game?
Yeah, it was something brutal like that.
Where they went up from, like, up 16 to down 10, like, and then
lose
the game.
And it was the same thing. It was like he couldn't make his free throws down the stretch. Like, he couldn't hit the clutch baskets down the stretch. It's like, it's just the same thing over and over.
He hasn't fixed the problem. And Budenholzer hasn't fixed the problem, and they just keep doing the same thing, and we know what the definition of insanity is. No, not the real definition, but the one we all say is the definition of insanity, the doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. At least they tried to be like, hey, here's Drew Holiday. He's not Eric Bledsoe, but he ain't been much better. I take that back. He's been much better than Eric Bledsoe, but not enough.
No. Not what you wanted. Not a Chris Paul or
right. Yeah, like definitely not Chris Paul. Like, yeah, he's definitely not the guy that's going to get you over the hump.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, if I'm the Bucks, I do think we can go back to Milwaukee and win if James Harden's still going to be hobbled. Like, it did take a legendary performance by Kevin Durant, and he played all 48 minutes, and then the next game's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can he do that again? Like, I don't think I would bet on him playing 48 minutes again and scoring 49 points and having a big-time triple-double.
Nope.
That doesn't mean Durant's not going to bring it. But, like, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm like, hey, let's just win game 6 and we'll make him do it again in game 7. So I don't think this series is over. I don't think Brooklyn goes back to just being the heavy favorite to come out of the East or to win the title. Like, I don't think that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm Milwaukee, you're like, maybe you're just like, hey, you know what? It took that for us to lose. Now, you could also say, well, also James Harden isn't going to be that bad again. But
you wouldn't think so.
You know, Blake Griffin's not going to go 7 of 11, and Jeff Green's not going to go 8 of 11 and 7 of 8 from 3. Yeah. So maybe you're just like, you know what? That's why we play a series. Let's go home. Let's get game 6.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I feel like your mentality's killed.
I mean,
it's
gonna hurt the mentality to, like, lose that
way.
It's gonna
be hard to come back from that, even at home.
I'll say it helps to go home, but it could be one of those instances where if the Nets get up early and the Bucks start groaning,
yep,
here we go again. That it could be, you know, a detriment to be at home. But I do think Milwaukee goes back and wins game 6. Just because, unless Joe Harris hits a shot, man, like, what are you doing, Joe?
2 for 11.
They gave you how much money? They gave him like $70 million this offseason, right?
Yeah, it was a lot.
They paid him to stay, and like he's been good this year, but you know, this last three games he's been brutal, man. He's supposed to be their shooter, their court stretcher, and
consistent shooter.
I mean, I guess if they put Giannis on him, like, hey, I'll take a 2-for-11 if you're just taking Giannis away from KD, but still.
That's still just so crazy to me. Even like KD hitting that clutch shot over Middleton in the fourth quarter, like imagine if it was Giannis guarding him. Yeah. Like the size he has, man. I don't get it.
I get not playing him all game.
That's fine. You but like fourth quarter, man. Offense, but yeah, let's go.
4 minutes left. You got to go. You got to put him on Durant there.
Mm-hmm. And Giannis got to be quit some conservative. Like I don't like that. I don't like that. Like call out your coach, man. Like say like, hey, no. Like I'm guarding like any other player. Like imagine Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, all those guys. I know those like most competitive guys in the NBA. But like you know, they would be wanting that challenge. You know, they would take that on.
Yep. Which, I mean, this is the third time this has happened with Giannis, ain't it? Like, didn't he say the same thing about Kawhi Leonard in that series? Didn't he say the same thing about Jimmy Butler last year? Like, they didn't let Jimmy guard him either, or him guard Jimmy either. But, I mean, so if you're Milwaukee, you're like, okay, Durant's not going to do that again. But, like, maybe Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, and James Harden aren't going to combine to go 4 of 26 either. So, like, it's if you're the Nets, you feel, okay, yeah, we might have got lucky, but also we didn't play very good.
Yeah.
Just two guys, three guys played good. Everyone else stunk. Game 6 will be fun, though.
Oh, yeah.
I do think Milwaukee wins it. I won a game 7 this series. It felt big last night.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted out right before the fourth quarter, like, this is a legacy quarter. Like, this is a narrative and legacy quarter. Like, whatever comes out of this is going to shape the next couple years of the NBA, or at least how we think about it, at least Durant and Giannis. And, of course, Durant delivers. Giannis does not.
And that's the difference between some players like that. It's the gap.
It is.
It's the gap.
How do we feel about Giannis after the game saying Kevin Durant's the best player in the league or best player in the world right now? I mean, I don't think he's lying, but, like, do you want him saying that? Like, I mean,
you want him to think
not your
he
current
is.
Opponent.
Like, after he just bust your ass. Like, it's one thing if the series is over, but, like, hey, man, you got two more games.
Mm-hmm.
You hope at least two more games. Like, maybe don't say he's the best player in the world right now. That's you admitting he's better than you. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like,
I don't think he's lying, though.
No, he's telling,
I think that's completely the truth.
He's telling the truth.
He's speaking facts.
He is telling the truth. Kevin Durant is the best player in the world right now. Which, who knows, like, I guess LeBron benefited from, you know, Durant's Achilles tear because before Durant got hurt, I think Durant had passed him as best player in the world. And then he gets hurt and he kind of goes back to LeBron. He gets his title.
Mm-hmm.
Now LeBron, you know, a little bit banged up, knocked out of the playoffs, and Durant's back to being the best player in the world, I think. This would be a huge ring for him to get. I think, you know, people that talk about legacy and, like, well, can he lead a team to a championship? I don't care if Kyrie and Harden are all back healthy for the finals. If Durant wins a championship this year, I think he has earned it just off this game alone. Like, you can't question his credentials anymore.
You think that would shut up some of the haters all the Warriors talk?
It won't shut everyone up because some people are just haters. Like, some people are just going to do that. Like, there are some people that still claim, like, LeBron's ring shouldn't count because Ray Allen hit that one shot in Game 6 of the Spurs Heat series. So, like, or Kyrie hit the one shot in Game 7. Like, there'll be still some haters, but, like, any rational person will be like, yeah, this solidifies everything, like his greatness. Like, just, what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago, I said he's probably top 5 all time. I mean, just talent of basketball. Like, you know, it doesn't necessarily have the career yet, but, like, eventually when it's all said and done, Kevin Durant will be a top 5 player of all time, and this will be one of the games you look back on. We'll get to some other news. Big day in the association. Some series getting changed, flipped upside down, some coach openings coming up. Championship quest may be in turmoil. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment is brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. We'll be out there live on remote Friday, July 2nd, doing some giveaways. Partner with them. Come throw some axes, make plans, get your 4th of July weekend started off properly. Use a promo code FANRUN, one word, for 15% off your booking when you go throw axes with your boys, your girls, your kids, your lovers. Other big NBA news today, Kawhi Leonard set to become the 8th different All-Star to miss a playoff game this year, the most in NBA history. He joins Anthony Davis, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid, and Kyrie Irving. Chris Paul, who also going to be in COVID protocol and most likely going to miss game one of the Western Conference Finals, would be the 9th.
What you doing, CP?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with CP.
Too many State Farm commercials.
I don't know. Jalen Rose says Chris Paul is vaccinated. which makes it sound as if he's going to have to go through this step protocol that he actually has the is showing symptoms is kind of what the people are reading into, because the NBA laxed protocol and, you know, how they handled social distancing and, like, you know, being around people and all this stuff if you were vaccinated. But it still said, like, if you show symptoms, you would go back to the old days of basically having to be 2 weeks of, you know, or 10 days of, you know, being monitored. So people are still trying to figure out the exact details around it. Nothing firm yet. But Chris Paul, again, almost assuredly going to miss game one of the Western Conference Finals, which would obviously put Phoenix at a disadvantage. If they're on the road at Utah, that'd be tough. If they're at home against the Clippers, that's a, you know, golden chance for the Clippers to steal game one if they were to get there. However, again, the big news is Kawhi Leonard out for tonight. Tonight's game five, and likely, maybe, out for the rest of the series.
I was going to say, I said he's pretty much doubtful.
So, if he's doubtful for the rest of the series, maybe if you're Phoenix, you're like, you know what, we'll play Devin Booker versus Paul George in Phoenix in game one. Like, and get,
come on,
get
playoff
Chris Paul
P. Here's your chance. He talked about legacy, man. Yep. This is it. This is it, Paul.
How do you feel? How do you feel right now after you've been beating the drum for playoff P and Paul George? How do you feel tonight?
I mean, injuries. I'm like, I'm not going to put too
Paul
much
George
pressure.
Paul George ain't hurt.
I'm just saying, excuses for everybody else.
You didn't make excuses for Kevin Durant. You said it's go time, Kevin.
We really compare Kevin Durant to Paul George now. Is that what we're doing?
I'm not. I'm asking where you, the biggest Paul George fan.
You just always find a way to get your way, don't you? You just always do. It's just crazy, man. I got the Clippers momentum going, playoff P over here, dropping 30 bombs, and now he's probably going to struggle tonight because he's going to try to do too much. And Gobert's probably going to look good catching oops because he doesn't have Kawhi come from the backside stealing passes. So there you go. Are you happy now?
I'm asking how you feel.
I just told you how I feel. This series is over.
You don't sound like you feel very good. Now, I'm not going to hold you to the picking the Clippers to win, because they're obviously not going to win without Kawhi Leonard.
No, there's no way.
I'm not going to say you're wrong for that. Like, that's not fair.
If I'm the Jazz, I'm resting Conley. I'm getting him ready for the Western Conference Finals. Well, like, don't even worry about it.
Still play Mitchell, though, right?
No, yeah.
Well, maybe limited minutes, though.
Playoff P ain't that bad, man. I mean, they may not be that bad.
Maybe limited minutes, though.
You think it's going to be that ugly, a blowout?
I think I'm just be careful with Donovan. I mean, if his ankle's still bothering him, I mean, he didn't play good those two games. So I'm saying if his ankle's still bothering him, because keep in mind, he had an ankle injury before the playoffs. Like, he missed game one against the Grizzlies. So
missed a few weeks, right?
Right. So I am taking it easy on him. Now, again, if the game's tight, then it's you got to go out and all out to win, but I'd be a little cautious with Mitchell. I'd get him out at the 6-minute mark of the first quarter, maybe. Give him a little extra rest, see how it goes. But no, I'm not going to hold you to the Clippers prediction. I'm wondering if you're backing off the Paul George prediction. Like, if it was just Paul George is better than Rudy Gobert, or, you know, the X amount player in the league, like number 12 or wherever you rank him, 20, I don't know. Is that only with Kawhi Leonard, or is that any time for Paul George? So I'm going to let you get out of it if you want right now.
Let's see what he does tonight.
Okay.
Let's see what he does.
All right, you're on the
hook. Because if he has a really good performance and they still lose, like, I mean,
I won't
blame
him for
that. Yeah, I was about to say, I think we'll put a little bit more respect on his name, maybe.
I don't think Paul George can lead this
team. If he pulls out a win, though.
Well, that'd be great for him, but I don't think he can do it.
No.
I don't think it's fair to ask him to beat the number one seed either by himself. Like, this isn't a Kevin Durant situation. Like, no one would ask Kevin Durant. Well, I'll take that back. I was going to say, no one would ask Kevin Durant to do that on the road, but we would have.
Yeah.
But being at home made you think you were going to get another big performance from somebody. It happened to be Jeff Green. I thought maybe it would just be like everyone playing a little bit better, not one guy going like, hey, I'm Jeff Green, here I am. All this potential, finally.
Is there
an
official injury report on Kawhi? I know it's a knee injury, obviously, because that's what happened, but like, I didn't say anything officially. And I also thought it was strange that he was the one that like told his teammates, like, hey, guys, I'm like probably not going to be playing game five.
I guess.
And it brings me back to like the whole Spurs situation where it's like he kind of, I don't want to say he's faking an injury or anything, but he pretty much took himself out. And the trainers were like, no, he's good. And Kawhi was like, no, I'm not good. I wonder if it's a situation like that where he's just like, hey, I'm just like, I'm not good. Like, I'm not ready.
We haven't seen anything from the Clippers doctors, right? Like, because,
that's what I'm
like
saying.
You said, the tweak didn't look good. Like, he came out of the game in game four, but they were up, you know.
He still finished the game, though.
I thought he came out with 2 minutes left, but they were up like 14 or 15.
He played the next couple minutes, right. And then he came out. Because he hit those free throws. He played another minute or two, and then they pulled him out.
He took
next
couple
time
shots
out
in the leg still.
Yeah,
but he didn't look good after the game. He's like, no, I'm fine, I'm good. Because we talked about yesterday. Because I asked, what his status was, and you said after the game he'd say he was good, which he had. But I guess maybe it swelled up the next morning, and he's just like, hey, this ain't gonna go well. Mm-hmm. I do think it's fair to say, he has been pretty cautious with his legs and his injury management.
And it's just like, man, I think about being a Clippers fan. Like, you've never been to the Western Conference Finals. And, like, you feel like you got some momentum. You got the Jazz on the ropes. You got Kawhi playing unbelievable. And it's just like, boom. Now it just feels like it's over.
Well, I was also getting ready to point out, like, he is also a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
So if you're Kawhi, are you willing to go out there and limp around like James Harden? Maybe not. Or maybe for Kawhi, you're like, you know what? We might not have won this Utah game anyways. Let me get healthy for game six. We'll win the Clippers, and then we'll go win a game seven on the road. Now, obviously, you'd rather have three chances to win two games than two chances to win two games. But if I'm Kawhi Leonard and I feel 70%, would I rather do that and maybe be 70% the rest of the series? Or hope I can get back up to 90 by the time game six comes, win that game at home, and then take our chances? I wonder how Kawhi broke the news to him.
A very short text message.
The way they phrased it, it just seemed like such a Kawhi thing. Like, as he informed his team to most likely be prepared that he was not going to play.
Sounded like a word for word.
I regret to inform you.
Regretfully, I would have to inform you that it's likely I will not be at work. Hope this email finds you well.
No way he would come back to the Clippers too, right? I mean, what do they got going for him?
Your boy Paul George.
He's coming to Atlanta.
Do you want him?
I don't know, want Kawhi? Yeah.
just keep him away.
He's really good, man. Okay. But is this not a little bit of a quitter mentality? Or is it just me, man?
I think it's just you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you.
I'd like to see an official report on the injury. Like, we don't even know what it is. We have no word what it is.
Big loss.
Just a tweaked knee, I guess. I mean, what was it? Knee soreness? I mean, like, it's not going to be
like a knee sprain.
Yeah, it's not going to be that, I wouldn't think.
Let me see if I saw anything. Oh, breaking news on that. It's an ACL injury.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Ooh, Shams just tweeted out.
So what does it say? Just ACL injury?
Clippers
or?
Field All-NBA star Kawhi Leonard has suffered an ACL injury. Sources tell The Athletic.
You could sprain your ACL,
out
right?
Definitely.
Yeah. You could sprain your ACL, right?
For sure.
Ooh.
Oof.
Man, he's tough for still just standing up on that for the rest of that game.
Well, I mean, even with a torn ACL, you could stand and, like, run straight line. It's just the lateral movement, they say, that it gets you. So, I'm sure, like, yeah, I mean, he shot his free throws and came down the court. He's like, nope, this ain't right.
Man. So, all the injuries, I mean, it's got to be just the result of the shortened season, right? Or do you think it's just kind of a coincidence?
I don't know. It's tough. It's tough because, yeah, you know, the offseason was very short. And these guys, you know, rush back, and you've had the worst season in history. But, like, let's look at it. Anthony Davis, he's had injuries before. You know?
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell is a sprained ankle. Like, Kyrie Irving is a sprained ankle. Like, are you more likely to sprain your ankle because you're fatigued? Yeah, maybe, but you're also, like, it's also kind of amazing people don't sprain their ankles more, like, when they're jumping for rebounds and stuff. Like, you would think.
Kyrie's was kind of just a.
A fluke, like, I don't know his foot, right?
Say, yeah, I mean, so, like, just twisted it.
Joel Embiid tears his meniscus, like. That's Joel Embiid, who has had bad knees his whole career. So, like, I don't know. Chris Paul is going to be COVID. What was Jaylen Brown? Like, broke his wrist?
Yeah.
Right? Was that his broken wrist? Yeah, like, right. Harden's arm. A groin. Conley's a groin. Like, maybe the groin is from fatigue. But, like, it ain't like James Harden and Mike Conley played deep into the playoffs last year. They were both knocked out in the either first or second round. Ain't like James Harden, you know, was ran to the ground during the regular season. I mean, he took the whole first month off. I mean, if anything, I'd bet James didn't condition in the off. I'd blame more of him just, like, getting fat and not working out, trying to force a trade for an injury. So, I don't know. Fatigue does make you more susceptible to injuries, but at the same time, again, landing on ankles or Joel Embiid or Anthony Davis's big ass is getting hurt, like, on their legs. Like, that seems plausible.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fatigue and because people are blaming Adam Silver in the NBA. And, like, keep in mind, LeBron was hurt too, but that was another one where somebody dove at his leg. Like, yeah. Solomon Hill, like, sprained his ankle by diving at it.
I don't know. I mean, there's, like you said, how many injuries? All-stars? Eight?
Yeah. No, most
ever?
Most ever.
Feels like that's not a coincidence, man.
Yeah.
And all the injuries we've had throughout the season, all the players resting we've had throughout the season as well, like.
What? I mean, it doesn't look good. For Adam Silver in the NBA, right? I mean, it doesn't look good. It looks like it is. It looks like it is related. calling it an ACL injury seems pretty scary. I guess they're not calling it a tear, but it could be a partial tear. I don't know. But, I mean, like, an ACL tear, like, with him being a free agent, maybe that means he would just stay with Clippers and not opt out. I mean,
he's not playing, though, right? Like,
oh, yeah, he's not playing at all
the rest of the series. Even if they advance, like, I don't even think the series
is over.
Yeah.
Series is over. Utah's winning this series.
Yeah.
Which I think Utah is winning the series anyways, but I would have liked to have seen Kawhi try to do his Kevin Durant impression. Like, you do lose intrigue and interest in the series because of that. Like, you were setting up for a pretty good, like, game five tonight, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now maybe Paul George and Zubac and Morris can rally around.
Boy Patrick Beverly.
There you go. Need the energy from Pat Bev tonight.
Pat Bev.
I think you're going to see just how bad Pat Bev and Paul George are when it comes to tonight when Kawhi's out there to block it.
It's the Reggie Jackson show.
Reggie Jackson.
Hey.
It's Reggie Jackson time, says Reggie Jackson. It is his time. He's been waiting for this moment. Reggie Jackson walks around the locker room and says, "Don't worry, guys. I got it. Give me the ball. What you got your heads down for? Give me the ball. I got it." Reggie Jackson's going to shoot the ball 25 times tonight.
I was about to say, he's going to be chucking Westbrook shots, man.
Paul George, I hope he has his first couple of shots, because if not, it could be a really, really bad playoff P night where he goes something like 3 for 20.
Yeesh.
He's going to have the green light. I won't be too hard on you, Draven, if Paul George has a bad night. Just for the record, I won't be too hard on you.
Be a little unfair. Like I said, he's going to be trying to do too much, I think. He's going to be forcing a lot of things. And like I said, shots aren't falling. You know, it's going to get ugly quick.
I won't be too hard on you. What do we make of Chris Paul's situation?
Stupid.
Like, he better have actual COVID, right, to do this?
He's vaccinated, though, right?
Well, I said Jalen Rose said it. Like, I don't know if Jalen Rose knows or if Jalen Rose is covering for him.
You can still get it if you're vaccinated.
You would think.
Yeah. Just let him play. My God. All these players are vaccinated. Like, what are we doing?
Well, not all of them. They're not making them.
Most of them.
Yeah,
majority of them.
Well,
if not,
they're assuming the risk.
78% of them.
If they're not, they've agreed to assume the risk.
Exactly.
People might make a big deal out of Chris Paul not being vaccinated since he's, like, the president of the Players Association and, like, not setting the right example or whatever. But, like, the VP's LeBron. And he hasn't ever came out and been in favor of the vaccine. He's actually kind of come out contrary, saying he has to study it more and doesn't know and has to do what's best for his family, blah, blah, blah.
He'll study up on it the same way he reads those books.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like Chris Paul has to have it to hold him out, because if not, I'd be like, hey, like, you didn't make LeBron miss for protocol and everything.
I mean, at a tequila party.
Yeah.
like, come on.
It's just, yeah. Which we don't know what CP3 was doing. You never know. I mean,
yeah, no,
he could have been out and about or whatever.
You don't. And, like, it could be a situation. I don't think he would do that.
I don't think so either.
But you never know. They just swept. Maybe they celebrated in Denver. Yeah. Who knows?
Got some days off.
What a day, though, so far. So Kawhi's out, I would imagine, for the rest of the playoffs, however long they're in the playoffs. You got Chris Paul in COVID protocol. We don't know when he's going to play again. Hopefully, just asked him as game one. You got two coaches either being fired or told they're not being retained, and Stan Van Gundy and Scott Brooks.
Yep.
Scotty Brooks' contract had expired in Washington, and then they just got there. I was like, eh, you know, we can't come to terms. He probably wanted to be paid pretty well, and they're like, nah, bro.
No.
We're going to go in a different direction here.
What do you think about the Van Gundy situation?
It's one of those things that I would say that it depends on who they hire, which right now apparently the front runner is Teresa Weatherspoon,
ooh,
a Pelicans assistant coach, is apparently a serious candidate, and some calling the front runner to become the first women's head coach, and also a coach now that, like, is going to be Zion's third coach in 3 years. Like, it's one of those things, like, if you don't get it right, man, like, when Zion wants out in a couple years, you're not going to have anybody to blame but yourself.
Mm-hmm. He's got, what, one more year, right? Or he's been...
I think he's got one more year, but then, like, he's a restricted free agent, so, like, he won't be able to leave. He'll take max or whatever. He'll take the max extension, and, you know, could force his way out. There is a way where he could just take, like, the qualifying offer and play for, like, $8 million on 1 year and then, like, be an unrestricted free agent. But no one ever really does that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really work out when you do it, although Zion might be the one that could do it. Depends on how bad he wants out or how seriously he wants to get traded now. Because if he said, like, no, I'm not taking, like, if you're the Pelicans, you'd have to trade him now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You'd have to, like, get rid of him. He'd have all the leverage. Van Gundy didn't seem good there.
No.
It was weird that they hired him after he had failed so spectacularly, like, in Detroit. I don't know how he got to coach Zion.
Right.
Maybe he sold him like, hey, I coached Dwight. I know how to turn him into a big man. I don't know. I coached Andre Drummond. Whoa. You want some more of this?
That's what you want Zion to look like, right?
I mean, I don't know what the thinking was, but, yeah, they fired him after 1 year. And now they're going to be hiring the third coach in 3 years or giving a Zion the third coach in 3 years. And it seems a little dangerous to, like, early Boogie Cousins territory. Now, Zion seems to have a better temperament and, you know, head on his shoulders than Boogie did. But yeah. It's part of the reason why Boogie never, like, did anything in Sacramento. They just never could have stability and, like, get the right pieces and team around him and the right, like, support staff. So we will see who they hire and how Zion feels about that. But that's one of the brightest stars in the league. It's a big hire coming up.
Teresa Witherspoon moving the needle for you.
Not for me, but I'll be honest.
It just seems like such a risk. Like maybe she'd be a good coach, whatever. But like that's – I feel like you got to – like you said, you need some stability now. You need a guy that you know at least could be there for a year. Like, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm also seeing some whispers of Jason Kidd.
Yeah. Well, Jason Kidd's going to be in the mix. He was in the mix last time.
Jason Kidd's not going to work out either, man.
Right. Jason Kidd is getting linked to every –
that's what I'm saying.
Every team right now.
It's just crazy how, like, these coaches fail somewhere like he did in Milwaukee, in Brooklyn, and then they just become an assistant coach on these good teams, and for some reason their name gets brought back up. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yep. Same way in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Recycling coaches, it always happens. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.